Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio for this Wednesday, July the 15th. Thank you for listening to AFR. Ed Battagliano joins me this morning.
Hey, good morning.
How you doing, Brother?
I'm doing good. Ed?
Fred Jackson?
Yes, sir.
Now, for those watching on Facebook or YouTube, Today's Issues, you just type in Today's Issues, Facebook or YouTube, and you'll see us in all our glory. I use that with a small G, but it's still glory. Ed and Fred have decided to stand today.
Mm-hmm. We're going to kind of see if you noticed.
Oh, I noticed. And I'm just wondering, is this some sort of protest you guys are having against?
No, I'm actually going to sit down now. I wanted to see how long it took you. Now, Fred's going to stand up for the first 20 minutes.
Yes. Is that some kind of exercise you're doing
it
there,
is.
Fred?
It is.
I just want to see if you noticed.
Sit so much during the day at my desk.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I do too. Mm-hmm. And I stand up on rare occasion here.
That's why, Fred, it's for health reasons that when I need to get up, I walk with great speed. I power walk to the popcorn machine. Get some of that exercise, that blood flowing.
15 feet away.
No, I'd say it's more like 30.
I'm saying he's walking at least 20 yards.
Yeah.
One way.
Well, that's right. You double that.
You double that to get to that popcorn machine, the famous popcorn machine we hear.
That's
here
right.
At American Family Association. Well, lot to talk about in the news. Again, if you'd like to join us on Facebook or YouTube, just type in Today's Issues. If you would like to listen online, get our AFR app. Listen anywhere in the world. It has high-speed internet on our AFR app. You can go to AFR.net, and we do have podcasts at AFR.net. Well, a big Senate race in Alabama for the Republican nominee was decided last night, right?
Chris? Yes. Former Auburn University football coach Tommy Tuberville came out the victor, and it wasn't even close over the former senator of Alabama, former Attorney General of the United States, Jeff Sessions. And that is a big part of the story. Most of our listeners know that when Jeff Sessions became the Attorney General of the United States, one of the very first things he did was recuse himself from the investigation into alleged Russia collusion, the Trump campaign with Russia, the Democrats said. And we were just talking about this before we went on the air. What basically Jeff Sessions did as Attorney General, he went to the Ethics Committee of the Department of Justice up there, which we later learned was controlled by Democrat lawyers.
Right.
And the Ethics Committee said, Mr. Attorney General Sessions, you should step away from this, not get involved with this. And that's what Jeff Sessions did. And we all know what happened next. We had 2 years of persecution against the Trump administration. And quite frankly, President Trump never forgave Jeff Sessions for that. And
did you notice that?
Yeah.
President Trump's hard to read, though.
Yeah, I sort of sensed that having to read between the lines.
There was friction. But Jeff Sessions, no longer AG, he decided to run for his old seat in Alabama. And last night, the people of Alabama said, Jeff Sessions, we like you, but we're not going to send you back to Washington, D.C. And instead, they went to Tommy Tuberville. As I say, the former Auburn University football coach, quite new to the political game, quite frankly, but very popular. Here's what he had to say last night in his victory speech, cut number 6.
I'm a huge Donald Trump fan. I think he's done a great job with 4 or 5 people hanging. He's a quarterback. He's in the pocket. And he's got people hanging all over him, but he's still completing passes. The referendum for Donald Trump last night in Alabama, he is going to take this state overwhelmingly. So anything we can do to help him. You know, this country's in trouble. That's the reason I'm running. I told people a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. which, by the way, this is the hardest thing I've ever tried to do in my life, but I'm doing it for the right reasons. I'm telling everybody, this country's in trouble, and we better get control of this country from Washington, D.C. on down to local government. And that's the reason I'm running. I want to be a part of what's going to happen in the next few years when we get President Trump reelected. We have to keep the Senate.
All right. That is now candidate for sure to run against Democrat Doug Jones, mm-hmm. who won that seat in Alabama in 2017. I don't think there had been a Democrat from Alabama since 1992, I think it was. So things were in chaos. It was Roy Moore against Doug Jones back in 2017. And I think we remember some of that story. But we'll have to wait and see. But the people of Alabama last night, the big story is they said goodbye to Jeff Sessions.
A couple things. Wasn't that it was a pretty large margin.
63-37.
Yeah, it was. That's
what it ended up?
Yeah. 63% I mean, for Tuberville.
In this day and age, that's a beatdown.
Right.
For another football metaphor here. Right. One thing I would like to say, though, I feel bad for Jeff Sessions. The reason is he was an outstanding senator for many years and one of the most conservative senators there. I thought of him
reliably conservative.
Yeah,
he wasn't wishy-washy.
He was one of the first senators to endorse candidate Don Trump.
Yes, he also was, you know, the point man on illegal immigration. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was one of, and what to do about it and how to stop it. And that was one of President Trump's then candidate Trump's main points. So I feel bad for him. In his career ends in like this. On the other hand, he dug his own grave, mm-hmm. so to speak, when he recused himself, as you mentioned, Fred, from the Mueller investigation. The reason is President Trump hired him to be his AG. He said yes. And as I understand it, he didn't consult his boss.
Nope.
Now, some people say, well, the AG should be independent of the president. Well, we all know how that works, right? I mean, that's a close relationship. And so he should have not recused himself or B, resigned then and said, I'm not going to do this job if I'm going to have a contentious relationship with the president, because he's the one who gave me this opportunity. So he thought at the time, did Jeff Sessions, he was doing the honorable thing.
Yes.
But it turned out to be a disaster for him.
I think Jeff Sessions did not understand how deep the swamp was.
But he should have. He's been there long enough.
He should have, but I think he thought these are all honorable people here, and they're not. They are bipartisan,
and they'll do the right thing.
They'll do the right thing. He trusted them and their opinion.
Listen, I got to say, and let me just toss in a few things.
And congratulations to Tommy Tuberville.
Yes, absolutely, and I agree with you, Tim. Jeff Sessions served the state of Alabama with distinction. Has served honorably and serves conservatism in this country honorably. But to me, he was. I don't think he should have come back to Alabama and run.
I agree.
I think he's kind of like, you know, let's go back to football. He's kind of like the quarterback that should have retired.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Tried to play one more year, and then it was obvious to everybody that he was not the same quarterback as he had been in the past. I think that I absolutely agree again, Tim, that the Office of Attorney General is supposed to be independent, but at the same time, if you're going to kind of throw your boss under the bus, then you have to expect that is going to create tension, and the president had every right to criticize Jeff Sessions for what Jeff Sessions did. So, you know, as it turns out, I will just say this. I'm not a historian, so 10 years from now, 20 years from now, I may be proven wrong. But I think it's going to actually work out better for the president that this all unfolded the way it did, because if Jeff Sessions had run the investigation, he probably would have been accused by the media and the Democrats as being the president's lab dog. It wasn't a good, you know, investigation. It was political. The fact that it played out the way it did and Robert Mueller was in charge of the investigation with all these Democrat attorneys,
yeah,
the fact that he found nothing, I think, is going to wind up helping the president in the election. Don't know whether it's going to put him over the top. But this is it all kind of unfolded the way it had to unfold once Jeff Sessions recused himself.
Yeah.
And, I wish him and his family the best as he enjoys retirement and the speaking circuit or whatever he decides to do.
Tuberville will run against Doug Jones, the senator, the Democrat, and Alabama is a deep red state, so I'll be shocked if Tuberville doesn't win that in November.
Yeah.
So, and which will flip that seat from a Democrat to a Republican. Which the Republicans this fall need every seat they can get, because they've got more at risk in Senate elections than do the Democrats by a 2-1 margin, I think, something like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Fred, what else you got?
Well, interesting, sticking with the story from last night, Doug Schoen, columnist, has written an interesting article for Fox.
Not Doug Jones.
No.
Doug Schoen.
Yes.
By the way, a while ago, did you say lab dog or lap dog?
Lap dog.
Dive dog, okay.
Yeah.
I will go back.
Because there is a dog called Lab.
Lab, yes.
Yeah.
We'll go back and check the tape on that.
Well, yeah. I thought he said Lab dog, but anyway.
That's okay.
We all can misspeak. Probably should have recused yourself there.
I might have said Lab dog.
I think so.
Should have been standing while I was speaking.
Go back.
Doug Schoen.
Doug Schoen, okay. Schoen. Interesting article from him. He said the results of not only Alabama last night, but Dr. Ronny Jackson won in Texas. Both of these people, a Republican congressional seat there, both of these people were heavily, openly endorsed by President Donald Trump. And Schoen's take on that is that it points to the popularity of Donald Trump as we work our way towards Election Day. And that Republicans should, in general, take note of this, that if you try to distance yourself from President Trump, and there's been a few stories about that, if you try to distance yourself from President Trump, it could end up hurting you. That as time goes on and we see these riots in the streets from Black Lives Matter, et cetera, and we see the president's response to that, the president's response to the pandemic, let's get our kids back to school, let's keep the nation opening up safely, as he says, more and more people are going to see Trump a defender of what they want, versus the flip side of that is looking at the Democrats, who are looking more and more like they're going to follow, and we'll talk more about this in a minute, Bernie Sanders, AOC's agenda for the country. So, that's an interesting speculation at this point, but if it's true, I think it bodes well for the president, who up to now, all the polls we're looking at, the president seems to be down. I think Steve is going to bring in a poll in a few minutes when he comes on from Rasmussen, which shows the gap shrinking between Biden and Trump. So
Trump, who has been behind,
well behind,
closing the gap.
If you believe the polls.
Right.
If you believe the polls, exactly.
And that's up to everybody to decide for themselves, because the polls were wrong in 2016, as we know, in the Clinton v. Trump presidential race. As we've said, and we can talk more about this with Steve, and he'll give those Rasmussen numbers, which I was surprised by. I mean, how well the president is recovering from his bottoming out, again, if you believe the polls in the first place. But there's a long time. It's a long time between now and November. As we know, 2020 has been a decade.
Yes. It's felt like it. It's felt like it, hasn't it? We haven't even talked about murder hornets in a while.
No, we've all lived this. We've all lived through this 4 month decade. We'll see what happens as we go along here. We have ups and downs. Pardon me. But the debate looms. The debate or debates loom ahead. I don't think Joe Biden will do well.
No.
In those, I'll be shocked if Trump doesn't win those. To everybody who watches, obviously.
Yeah.
And the Democrats are, Joe Biden and the Democrats have embraced and are endorsing the openly. They're not hiding it anymore. Just insanity.
Yes.
They're embracing AOC, Bernie Sanders stuff. President Trump did a great job yesterday. I watched the speech.
We have the toing and froing between Biden's speech yesterday on energy and Trump's response.
Okay. Well, one of the things, pardon me, that the president was mentioning yesterday, and some said it was a campaign speech. Well, every day's a campaign speech for everybody, isn't it? Big deal. I'm shocked. The president of the United States, be Obama, Bush, Clinton, or Trump, says something that people interpret as a, quote, campaign speech while at the White House speaking, okay? But then the president was talking about these policies, the energy one being one of them, Fred, that you mentioned we're about to hear, that the Democrats are embracing. Think about this, folks, for just a minute. And as the president said yesterday, he said, I'm not making this up. I'm reading this from the Democrats' own and the Biden campaign's own statements. The Democrats, Joe Biden and the Democrats, embrace no borders. Do you hear me? Do you hear me, people? No borders. Not open borders. Open borders, well, okay, let me put one caveat on there. They're not saying, well, I don't know. I was going to say they're not saying no border patrol at all, but what they're saying in essence, y'all come to America, and furthermore, when you get here, we're going to pay all your health insurance.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Take care of you. This is what AOC embraces, and this is what Bernie Sanders embraces, and now Joe Biden is having to agree with that side of the Democrat Party in order to get their support, in because he can't win without a Democrat coalition being put together for the fall. But when I was listening to the president yesterday list all these things, I was saying to myself, I know a large segment of our country is Democrat, but I just don't think that a majority of Americans are willing to say, anybody who wants to come to America, come on in, and we're going to pay for all your health insurance and give you welfare. No, they were for welfare, for everybody who could come here illegally. Can you imagine what that would do to our country? It would destroy our country.
Well, and not only that, and we do want to get in here with the back and forth between President Trump and Joe Biden, but not only that, but for the people who are on the fence, who are going through the financial difficulties of this still, in many states, this COVID-19 shutdown, the very idea that you are welcoming and inviting people from other countries and then saying, we're going to pay your health insurance.
At this time,
and we're going to give you welfare. I've got to think there are a lot of people sitting on the fence going, wait a second. We might not make our mortgage payment or our rent payment. I'm not sure I'm going to have health insurance. And we're hemorrhaging money because I can't work. What are you saying? You're going to take tax dollars and give it to people who aren't even citizens? That's not going to fly either.
With a majority of people, I think.
I have to believe that.
So I think the combination of Joe Biden having to come out of his basement and start doing something, and the President Trump's and these whacked out ideas that the Green New Deal.
Oh, can we talk about that?
Joe Biden he's endorsing the Green New Deal. Go ahead.
Yes, the Green New Deal as designed by Bernie Sanders and AOC.
Right.
Which is radical, folks. So now Biden is adopting this. Here's what Biden wants to do. He wants to spend $2 trillion. Where is he going to get that money? He says, I'm going to have to raise taxes, folks. And we're going to have to go deeper and deeper into debt. But by 2035, the Biden and company want to see this country out of the gas and oil business.
And coal, too, I would guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fossil fuels.
Right.
Gone. Now, stop and think about this for a second, folks.
That's 15 years.
As this is happening, gas prices will rise because they'll be shutting down. They'll be shutting down oil plants. They'll be shutting down gas plants. Fracking will be gone. Pennsylvania, your fracking business. People employed in fracking, gone. This is what Joe Biden is promising to do.
What has happened here is Joe Biden is Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Okay. The only difference, Bernie Sanders might as well have won the Democrat primary because Joe Biden, probably unbeknownst to him, because he's lost his fastball,
right?
As President Trump said, what Joe Biden has done is says, here, Bernie, fill out my campaign promises.
Yes.
Okay, what we want to do here and get to hand it back to me.
Yeah.
But what the Democrat establishment knew is the face of Bernie Sanders as the face of the Democrat Party, because he's such an avowed socialist, I mean, out and out proud socialist, and far, far, far lefty, he couldn't beat President Trump. So they decided, let's go with somebody who's more palatable, maybe who's more perceived, at least as more moderate, and Biden, and he'll have a chance to win. But for all practical purposes, Biden has adopted everything that Bernie Sanders and AOC subscribe to, and so I think it is hurting him, is going to hurt his chances. As we go along here.
Well, next month is the Democratic National Committee convention.
Yes.
Now, I don't know.
Via Zoom?
Yeah, is that a Zoom probably convention? Via Zoom, or it's going to be some sort of virtual thing. I can't imagine them being the ones to have an in-person meeting, but are going to be hammering out the platform for the Democratic Party. Mm. You don't think it is going to be a far-left document? It will.
How's it going to go on Zoom? Are they going to be?
I have no idea.
They're going to be shouting at one another, and
I don't know how that's going to work. It'll be the first time in history that you've had a virtual convention.
Joe Biden will accept the party's nomination from his basement.
Hey, are the geese going to be there? Do we have that, Brent? See if you can get that. Of Joe Biden's greatest hits.
That's in the top five, right?
That's definitely in the top five. I just never get tired of it.
There were geese in his yard while he was on air.
Yeah, he was on air, the door was open, and the geese were either saying, you're whacked, or we applaud you. I don't know.
I don't speak geese either.
I don't speak geese.
I don't speak goose.
You don't speak geese? All right, so we will return. Abraham Hamilton III will join us, as he does on most Wednesdays, and get his thoughts on some of these topics. Much, much more to discuss and talk about when we get back from the break. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland of Exploring the Word.
And they're using the pandemic, which some call the plandemic, as a ruse to restrict what can be done in and out of church. Within church, you can't sing now in California.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
Cody Timms of Atlanta, Georgia, was beloved by his family. He loved the outdoors. Cody passed away about a dozen years ago, so you can imagine the Timms family's surprise when they received a voter registration application in the mail. Surprised not so much because Cody was dead, but because Cody was a cat. Carol Timms told television station WAGA she understands there's a huge push to get people to the polls, but registering family pets, well, that's a bit of a stretch. The Georgia Secretary of State's office said they did not send the application. They said it was probably a third-party agency. Now, normally, the news is filled with stories about dead people voting. More often than not, they vote Democrat, which begs the question, what about deceased felines, Republican or Democrat? Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download all 3 hours on ToddStarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Finish popcorn quick. All right. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thank you for listening to AFR, American Family Radio. Again, as always, we appreciate you listening. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Fred Jackson. We're joined now by Abraham Hamilton III. You just tell me when you're through texting.
He's ordering pizza.
I can multitask.
You can?
I can.
I'm glad you can. Wife. I've gotten to where I have to text. I have to stop walking. I used to could walk and text.
At the same time?
But as age is, I'm 57 now, and just something happened last year, and now I have to pull over to the side of the hall.
Pull out of traffic.
And I can't, don't talk to me while I'm trying to text this, or else I'll type in some word that comes up auto.
Autocorrect. Oh, yeah. You can get in big trouble that way.
That's right.
Yes, you can.
There's some inappropriate words.
Oh, I know.
Come up on your, sometimes come up on that auto, whatever. And anyway, all right, that isn't why we're here, ladies and gentlemen. We can save that for another day. Hey, before we get to the topics we want to cover,
yes, sir,
with you, Fred, Ed, and I, at least me, we have a desire to hear from
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden's greatest hits collection. Okay, and this Ed's saying this is at least a top five. Hey Jude.
Yeah.
The Beatles probably Hey right. Jude number five.
Yeah.
Okay. This Joe Biden.
Huh? I want to hear this because I have a running montage of Biden's greatest hits for the Hamilton Corner. And okay. Jeff, my producer's like, man, we have to break this up. This is getting too long.
Well, this was recent, and he had some background singers
accompaniment
here. Let's hear this.
And it isn't just lack of words; it's lack of action. Congress gave the administration tens of billions of dollars for helping Main Street lending. It's called the Main Street Lending Program to help small and medium-sized businesses. It's been 2 months since Congress gave them that money.
You know what? I would have liked to have seen the face. Joe Biden's almost oblivious to that. I give him credit. The guy keeps going.
Yes.
If it's me, I'm saying, hold on just a minute.
Yes. Yeah. Is this live?
Somebody shut that door. But I would have liked to have seen the look on the face of the person who's producing this.
Yes. Yeah.
Huh?
Has the only Canadian here?
Yeah.
I want to interpret what the Canadian geese were saying.
Okay, Fred, you do that.
So
you
every time, I speak geese, Canadian geese. Every time he spoke, they were saying, if you want to play it again, you'll hear it. Ha ha. Ha ha.
You know, you're right, Fred. Now that you mention it, I did hear that.
Ha ha.
Even the geese are mocking him. Well, the geese, they were saying, ha ha, get out of the basement.
I didn't pick that up. Can you just run just a few seconds of that? Let me just...
The ha-ha?
Yeah, I want to make sure.
Just lack of words. Listen, it's lack of action.
Yeah.
Congress gave the administration tens of billions of dollars.
Fred's from Canada. He should know. Uh-huh. Those are Canadian geese.
I do want to make sure. I have to even correct a Canadian.
Okay.
These are Canada geese. That's the name of them. They're not Canadian geese.
They're not?
No, Canadian.
How do you know?
Canadian.
Did you check their passport?
No, because I
who
got.
Who needs passports anymore?
I got blasted from somebody on Facebook who corrected us. This goes back when we first were talking about this.
Uh-huh.
They said, Fred should know this.
Yeah.
They're called Canada geese. That's a type of goose.
Yes. I know, but who says, hey, look up in the sky. Look at those beautiful Canada geese. I mean,
that's
most
right.
people say.
Yeah, Canadian.
But you're saying, technically speaking.
It's Canada geese. If you say Canadian geese, you're talking about the varieties
of
geese that are from
Canada.
So, listen, I'm only reason I'm saying this is not because... I am petty.
Wait a minute.
Ha 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 ha. Is because
the geese now.
I wanted our Facebook people to realize we do know the difference. Although all of us say Canadian geese, because who cares about Canada? Really?
I am not a consumer of said product, but what isn't Canada goose or Canadian geese a drink of some kind?
It's a vodka, isn't it?
Isn't it vodka?
There's a goose vodka, I think.
Grey goose.
Yeah.
Grey goose.
That proves we don't drink it.
That's right.
Because we couldn't think of the name. All right, I'm sorry. That was I do get a little picky sometimes.
Okay.
You can ask anybody.
No, it's okay. All right. Abe, good morning, brother.
Good morning.
So tune in to the Hamilton Corner and we'll get even more of Joe Biden's greatest hits.
It comes. I have it ready. So sometimes the moment just calls for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he says things like, you know, you can't go into a 7-Eleven without a slight Indian accent. Or when he says things like Barack Obama was the first clean and articulate.
And then he also,
black man, he
said also about... He said, "But those what? Something about four kids. Remember?
Yeah.
What did he say?
And he said, he said, poor kids are just as smart as white kids.
That may be the worst thing he's ever said.
He said these things,
yeah.
folks.
Poor kids are just as
poor kids are just as smart as white kids.
Yeah. I think that was the worst thing I've ever heard him say.
Oh,
but he said." Barack Obama was the first clean.
Yes, I know.
Like a lot of people focused on articulate.
Yeah.
He said the first clean. Now, I know he lives in Delaware, but clean?
There's seven black people that live in Delaware.
I guess according to Joe Biden, none of them are clean.
He's said all kinds. Remember the thing, the infamous and maybe creepiest thing he's ever said was about kids at the pool.
Yes.
Pulling on the hair of his legs.
They rub up his legs and cause the hairs on his legs to stand up.
Y'all stop. I got to go to lunch here in a little bit. I just don't need that image.
And forget about Corn Pop. Okay, his old friend. This was the guy. Was Corn Pop the one who had the razor?
Is that a rapper? Outside? Who is Corn Pop?
No, Corn Pop was some guy that called him outside or something in high school, I think.
This is Joe Biden reminiscing about his lifeguard days.
He's going to have a razor, and he was afraid he's going to get cut or something.
So what did Joe Biden do about Corn Pop?
Well, he talked him out of it. Talked him down, I guess.
Did he call a social worker?
I don't know.
How do you do that, exactly?
I don't know.
All right.
You know good and well, let any Republican say those things, they would be on a loop nonstop.
Yep. Oh, my word. All right. Refocus.
I'm glad to know that we're all clean in this
where we are
today.
And whether we're articulate or not, that remains to be seen. But I got to give it up for the geese.
Yeah. Wherever they're from.
What a great group of background singers accompanying there. Joe Biden. All right. What did we
want to talk?
What did we say we wanted to ask Abe about?
10 minutes.
The ordered church closings in California. A judge out there yesterday, Abe, 260 plus page decision.
I think it's New Mexico.
New Mexico?
Yeah, it was.
That was yesterday.
Wait a minute. We got a couple things here related to that. One is the governor of California shut down churches and bars and whatever places again yesterday. What's his name?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom.
Okay.
Okay, that's separate from
That's separate from that.
Okay.
He did that. Now, somebody told me he's allowing churches to meet outdoors.
Just not inside.
Okay. So I just want to be fair. It's not an altogether a shutdown. You can't meet. He's just saying you can't meet indoors.
That's Newsom. I didn't have that.
That's
one.
Newsom. Okay. So, what do you have?
The Albuquerque story.
All right, tell us about that. Lay that out for us.
Well, I mean, the district court judge in the New Mexico district court ruled that the state's Wuhan flu restrictions prohibiting churches from gathering is constitutional. Now, to that I say, stop me if you ever heard of a federal district court judge rendering a wrong and unlawful decision. I mean...
Kind of like a Joe Biden gaffe.
I mean, pretty much.
Happens every other day.
I mean, pretty much. And so there's a church, a pretty large church, Legacy Church in New Mexico, that had filed suit saying that the restrictions were unconstitutional. This district court judge rendered a 268-page opinion explaining why he believes that it's constitutional. And this is, Judge James Browning, and the church, as of yesterday, was still digesting the 268 pages and considering whether or not they need to appeal to the 10th Circuit. You know, I can just cut you some slack and save you some time. Go ahead and file your appeal now. Because this is ridiculous. It's in the 10th Circuit, which is a circuit. It's not quite the 5th Circuit, but it's a circuit that at a minimum, it's better than the 9th Circuit. And this is a state that has allowed numerous protests. Well, you're hollering, you're marching, and all of these things. So the protests are good to go with their mass numbers of crowds gathering, but people can't gather to exercise their First Amendment rights. And last time I checked, I don't see you do have the freedom of association. You have the freedom of association in the Constitution, but the free exercise of religion is also in the Constitution. So you can't allow large numbers of people to gather to protest if they cannot gather to worship the Lord.
Okay, so just to be clear, the governor of New Mexico,
I don't remember the governor's name.
Is it a she?
I'll look it up.
Anyway.
Thank you.
The governor of New Mexico declared that churches couldn't meet because of COVID.
Yep.
Okay. This church, what's the name of the church?
Legacy.
Okay.
Legacy.
This church went to court to fight that. Mm-hmm. And the judge ruled in favor of the governor.
Yes.
And now,
district court judge.
Has this shutdown of churches been going on for few months now?
That's what I'd like to know. I don't have those details.
Okay.
How long is the order? Okay. And the bottom line, the reason why I'm confident in an appeal is that you can't have an emergency that's continuous. You can't say I'm utilizing emergency powers, but I've actually been using these powers for 6 months, 7 months,
and
9 months,
and
10 months.
And to suspend constitutional rights indefinitely.
Exactly.
By the way, it's Michelle Grisham. She's the governor since January 1, 2019. She's a Democrat.
Well, all right, what about this argument, Abe? I know you've laid out in the past that the parameters in which a governor or a mayor or a president, or certainly governor or mayor, has the right to institute emergency suspension of normal life, as they say, even constitutional rights, in the name of public health. And I think everybody understands the reason for that. You have to have that kind of ability. Maybe I'm articulating it wrong, but now those suspensions should not and cannot be, as I say, indefinite, right? So you said early on, yes, a governor can, say suspend church for a month or 6 weeks or something like that. Did you say that, or I'm putting words in your mouth?
I didn't say suspend church. What I said is that a governor can, with the legislative authority granted to that governor, enact emergency measures that are, first of all, in recognition of a widely recognized emergency, like a global pandemic,
well,
or something
that
like
disqualifies,
that.
Well, that
disqualifies. Then it would have to be temporary. So right. The initiation of these emergency orders must have a definite start date and a definite end date when they're enacted. And thirdly, they must be equally applied. So if there's an effort to have indefinite emergency orders, that would fail that constitutional test. And if they're not equally applied, that would also fail the constitutional test. Perfect example. If I can have 1,000 people gather for a protest, then why can't I have 1,000 people gather for church?
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying? So it's not equally applied. Just like we had in the state of Mississippi, you cannot prohibit a church from having drive-in services when you allow Sonic to have their weekly gatherings on a Sunday with the windows down. So it has to be equally applied.
Yeah.
And it must be temporary, and it was in a definitely articulable time frame.
Yeah, I think, you know, Abe has a legitimate example. Let's put it this way. A hurricane is approaching a community along the coast. The governor could order an evacuation of that community until the hurricane is passed, and then the governor could say, we're going to stay away from that community until we can...
Well, send in the National Guardian to restore order and to make sure people are safe. People understand that. That's reasonable.
Yes.
And you can do that under our form of government.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do these, revolving suspensions of constitutional rights, like for example, the right to go to church.
Yes. So, the right to freely exercise one's religion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You must have been amazed the other day when Bill de Blasio up in New York said he was canceling all the festivals all this summer. But a reporter dared to challenge a Democrat and said, well, what about the Black Lives Matter protests?
Oh, they're doing something important.
Yes.
That's
what
de
Blasio said.
He said they're doing something important.
Yeah.
They're separate. That's what he said. A federal judge rebuked he and Cuomo the other day for something very similar.
Well, how is that not immediately seized upon in a lawsuit and rejected?
It should be.
With de Blasio.
But it was, guys, a couple of weeks ago. Do you ever remember this?
But I this think he said this like the last few days.
Yes.
Like the last couple of days, that they're doing something important. So he literally is saying that the exercise of First Amendment rights to religious liberty are unimportant. You know, I sent a couple emails to some friends in New York. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody did seize on it to use it legally. But he literally has revealed his bias against the exercise of religion.
Now, would in order to challenge that in court, would you have to call for a protest or a gathering in which after which de Blasio orders it shut down and then you sue? Or can you sue about the policy before you're actually harmed?
Yeah, you can do an injunctive pursuit even before you're actually harmed, because there have been things he's already done that you can use those comments to say, see, this is the real reason why he's doing this. No matter if he's saying that that's not the reason, the real reason is because he doesn't believe it's important.
Right.
Okay, real quickly, and I pulled this up because I remember this from a couple of weeks ago, June 26th, and I'm just reading as I'm reading out loud what I'm reading for the first time from the Fox News. I just typed in Google and I searched this. A federal judge said New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, Attorney General Letitia James, and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, quote, exceeded, that's a judge's word, their executive limits by limiting worship services and condoning mass protest as the state continues to reopen. It was the U.S. District Judge, that's a federal judge, mm-hmm. true, mm-hmm. and issued a preliminary injunction Friday on behalf of two Catholic priests. Anyway, the judge said de Blasio had, quote, simultaneous pro-protest, anti-religious gathering messages, just what we just quoted, but this was a couple of weeks ago. So he's been saying this. The judge said this, interesting, the federal judge now rebuking Cuomo and de Blasio said, quote, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio could have just as easily discouraged protest, short of condemning their message, in the name of public health and exercise discretion to suspend enforcement for public safety reasons instead of encouraging what they knew was a flagrant disregard of the outdoor limits and social distancing rules. They could have also been silent, but by acting as they did, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio sent a clear message that mass protests are deserving of preferential treatment, end of quote.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess de Blasio didn't learn.
Right.
Didn't learn from what this judge says. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Did you have another topic?
Well, there were a couple of decisions, one in Tennessee, one in Georgia the other day with regards to pro-life laws that were being brought in, heartbeat laws. And in both cases, federal judges shut those down, Tennessee law and Georgia law. And just where do you go from here when a federal judge? I suppose it's somebody, some people have said it's a strategy, Abe, to have a federal judge shut down those kinds of heartbeat laws they've become known as so that they can be appealed up the chain all the way to the Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, you have to forgive me, but I don't have very much confidence in the Supreme Court at this moment concerning their willingness to uphold the rights of unborn children, as we've seen with the June Medical Services ruling where, you know, John Roberts amazingly reversed himself from 4 years ago,
I know,
while saying he still believes his decision was right 4 years ago, but he still is bound by losing 4 years ago. It's just insane.
Well, it's insane is also demonic.
Yes.
And the reason I say that, and I know I'm scaring people who don't read the Bible or believe in Jesus. People get nervous when we Christians start talking about something like demons. But let me just say this. The killing of innocent unborn babies in the womb is demonic, satanic, evil. So there are forces at play here that want to see that spiritual forces that want to see that continue. That's child sacrifice, basically, back to Aztecs or who sort of, you remember those?
Old Testament Moloch.
Moloch.
Yep.
Did I get the Aztecs? Cain,
they did too.
I think. But you know what I'm talking about, child pagan sacrifice. Religions. It's a modern day form of child sacrifice is what it is. Mm-hmm. And so, and the way that babies are, you know, when Planned Parenthood and their ilk say, that they just so easily rolls off their tongue, pro-choice, right woman, right to control her own body. all these cliches that sound so free and American. I mean, who's not for pro-choice, right? We want a Toyota, Ford, or Chevy.
It's right.
Strawberry, chocolate, or vanilla. This is America. We get to choose, right? And that appeals to American sensibilities when you use that kind of language.
Right.
When in fact, I hope there aren't children in the room right now when you're listening, but in fact, and I don't mean to gross people out, many people have heard this before, when you're talking about abortion, you're talking about pulling out arms and legs and putting them back together on a table that's been sucked out of the mother's womb. That's the kind of choice we're talking about here. We're talking about a saline solution being injected into a woman's the fluid.
Yeah, in the amniotic sac.
And what happens with the unborn baby is it's scalded to death. Again, I hate to talk about that, but sometimes you got to talk about
that's what's happening.
You got to talk about the brutality of it. Because when I say satanic and demonic, what I've just described is exactly that. This is what the devil, if you don't believe in the devil, Jesus did, who promotes evil and wickedness, wants to see continue in America.
Right.
Is the killing of unborn babies. So what happens here, I think, my own belief, is what my former colleague Marvin Sanders used to call the abortion distortion. Not only is abortion distorted by the media on purpose to protect the wickedness of it, as I've just described it to you, you won't hear what I just said on it. You won't see an undercover report on CNN as we go inside an abortion clinic. No. You'll never see that because they don't want that exposed.
Right.
The truth of it exposed because it's horrible. Okay, so it's easier to say pro-choice. Keep you religious people, keep your hands off my body. Women don't want to be controlled by you Christian nuts. That kind of thing.
Right.
That's what you'll hear. The abortion distortion. So, as it relates to courts, you see judges who have an otherwise record, a pro-life record, a record of protecting unborn babies, and then somehow they get to a point of great decision, like John Roberts, for example, and all of a sudden they flip. Mm. All of a sudden. I mean, it seems like it's just all of a sudden they flip from, well, you mentioned, in the case of Roberts, he flipped from his own decision that he made 5 years ago where he said, yes, hospital privileges should be required from doctors who perform, I say doctors in quotes, who perform abortions. And he flipped on that. That would have made a big, big difference.
Yes.
Big difference. Because Texas and other states would have been able to have more regulations so that they could slow down and stop this killing of innocent unborn babies in the womb. So it's some of these decisions by courts is what I'm saying. And the reason it's so difficult to get Roe versus Wade overturned at the Supreme Court is because evil forces don't want it to be overturned.
Right.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. Abe, thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
For joining us, and we'll look forward on the Hamilton Corner to hearing some more of Joe Biden's greatest hits collection. You're like the Time Life advertisement at 11 o'clock at night with yours, because you've got a whole montage, right?
I do.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do, yes.
The Time Life... looks at the music from the 70s and
60s. Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.